Take your Bibles, if you would. I'm going to start off with a verse that's not in your notes, of course. And that's in Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 5. And this is what it says. Before I formed you in the womb, this is the Lord speaking. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. What a verse. I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. That's what it says, Lord, that's what I did. I thought, whoa, what an amazing statement. That somehow, before we're born, God knows that we're coming. And before we were formed by our mother's womb, he said, I knew you. You know, I can think back. I can't prove this, and someone says, oh, you're just thinking of yourself, but I think I remember often having this sense that somebody wanted me here. I said a destiny. Not destiny for great things, just a destiny. That God says, Owen, I formed you in the womb. See, actually, my parents told me later that they weren't expecting me. My sister and I are 13 months apart. And they weren't expecting me. One daughter was enough. But here I came along. And unexpected. I tell people, someone said, what is your name? I said, Owen. I said, remember when your mother was giving birth to you? Or I said, my mother was giving birth to me. She kept saying, oh, when? You know, oh, when's this guy ever coming? And so here I was, born premature. Man before my time, as it were. And I've come on the scene in the fullness of time. Somehow I can say I have a sense of, that I belong to God, that he has plans for my life and always has had, but I'm not always conscious of it. And I'm saying here today, if you can get a sense of identity, that the Lord knows you and loves you and wants to shape you and mold you, your life will just take off. There's just some, if you don't have a sense, if it's just nothing. Personal identity, knowing that you are wanted and needed and cared for, is a very powerful thing. And without it, I think we suffer greatly. So there is your name and God's letter to you. He's, in a sense, writing to us. The biblical revelation of God is, in essence, the fact that God knows your name. Names are important. Are they not? Names are very important. Whatever that person's name is, that's what God will probably use. At the very moment of your birth, think of that, your family and your parents and your relatives, and there you came along. The very moment of our birth, and even before our birth, God knew your name. And he wrote you a letter. A wonderful letter. In part, it says, Bob, Mike, Carol, Joan, there's no one else like you. Nobody with your genes. Nobody with your past. Nobody with your potential. Nobody with your influence. Nobody who will have your parents. No one who will have your friends or your experiences. You are the one and only you. You are the one and authentic you. You are who you are because God wanted you like that. And so, you know, you got people almost repenting of their personality. Don't repent of your personality. Repent of your sin. Repent of your fleshly walking in the flesh. But don't repent for who you are. You're magnificent. God sees to that. It's a wonderful, powerful thing. And there's a one and only one in you. And God says, I made you, and I want to tell you who you are. And thus the scriptures. How important the Bible is. So we get a revelation from scripture, and it's a beautiful thing. Your letter from God is like the one he wrote to Jeremiah that I just quoted from. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And I think it's kind of a sad thing. So many never read God's letter. So they don't know who they are. They don't have a proper identity. And when you do have a proper identity, you can do amazing things because a sense of excitement in your heart. So we discover our unique and our mysterious personalities. We have mysterious personalities. It's very unique how you meet so-and-so. I mean, I've often said, he says, well, that was an interesting fellow, wasn't it? Was he not? He's very interesting. Yeah, it's very interesting indeed. He's original. And that's a powerful thing. So God sends us a letter, as it were, so we get to discover how unique we are. Not full of pride and arrogance, but just you are who you are, and you've come to the kingdom for such a time as this. It's not a mistake that you're here. It's not a mistake you're here this morning. It's not a mistake. You're here because God wanted you here. So you would hear something that would strengthen your sense of belonging to God, that he knows you and he knows your name. He knows your name. So let me share with you from the Bible some people who God knew their name. The first one is in Genesis chapter 32. And reading at verse 22. Verse 20, I'll bring it verse 23. And he took them and sent them across the stream and everything else that he had. And Jacob was left alone. And a man wrestled with him. What a great story this is. A man wrestled with him. What were they doing? Wrestling. So it says he was. That's what they were doing. They were wrestling. A man wrestled with him till the breaking of the day. When the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he touched his hip socket, and Jacob's hip was out of joint, and he wrestled with him, and he said, "Let me go, for the day is broken." But Jacob said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." And he said to him, "What is your name? What is your name?" And he said, "Jacob," which meant deceiver. He said, that's what he said. He said, "My name is Jacob." Then he said, "Your name shall no longer be called Jacob. No longer will you be called deceiver. No longer will you be called trickster. Your name is Israel. For you have striven with God and with men, and you have prevailed." What a wrestling match that must have been when he actually won. You were called Israel. And Jacob asked him, "Please tell me your name." And then he says this, doesn't really give it the name, but he names the name of the place, and he says, "You've seen God face to face." And so we know there was something there that the angel showed with it, told him about. And so he was wrestling an angel, and has his name changed. It's not Jacob anymore. Got a new name. God calls him by this, "Your name is Israel." I thought, wow. I don't know. Have you ever wrestled with an angel? I haven't. As such, and yet that's what happened here, and as a result of that, he has a name change. But I think you live up to your name, right? If your name really means loser, I would almost predict your future, that you will struggle greatly with self-esteem. And of course, you know, other people call us things. Maybe you've had parents that cause you, you're hopeless. You're stupid. You'll never accomplish anything. You'll never amount to anything. Look at you. And that's so, how many know that's destructive? Oh, it's so unbelievably destructive. And so when you read a story like this, God knew his name. God knew Jacob, the deceiver. And ask Esau if you have any question about that. And then he gets a new name. He's called Israel, and all the implications of that. And that's the first one. So think about that just for a moment. Now, secondly, Moses. Exodus chapter 3, verse 2 to verse 6. He's walking along, and he sees this bush. And this bush, it's an interesting, it's a bush that will not be consumed. And he said, "I'm going to go over and take a look at this a very interesting tree." That's, in other words, he was intrigued by it. And he receives a voice, this time a voice, not an angel, but a voice. And the voice calls him by name. And he says, "Moses. Moses." Can you imagine? He's standing there looking at this tree, and now there's a voice. And his name is the name he recognized. He hears himself. Out of a bush, God's speaking. And I think the reason that God does this, why does God speak to us at all? I think the reason is to show us that he is God. And that whatever plans Moses had for Israel and for bringing the people out of the Exodus, he needs a new. So he talks to him. And it was a powerful, powerful moment. I won't get into all the story. We'll be here all day. But God gives him now a new sense of leadership for the days ahead. And so he has an encounter with a burning bush. That's what I love about the Bible. Just when you think, wow, what a lot of stuff going on in here. And the Lord speaks to us, I trust, because of it as well. Thirdly, 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 4, the life of Samuel, a young boy. He's called, his mother said to him, to the prophet, he said, if you allow me to have a child, I'll dedicate him to the Lord as soon as he's able to be weaned. And of course, the mother brings him down. You know, in baby dedication in those days, we're having a baby dedication this morning, but baby dedication was not like it is here. When you gave your child, you didn't see him again. he's with Eli in the temple. And so he's sleeping, and he hears his name. He hears his name of Samuel. And Samuel, and he thinks it's the prophet, so Eli, so he says, yes, speak. And he said, no, I didn't call you. Goes back to bed, hears the voice again. What's he call? His name. God calls his name. And he has a second, the third time, he says, no, listen, you, this is not me. I'm not talking to you. You're getting this from somewhere else. When the next time you hear the voice, say, speak, thy servant hears and is listening. And of course he does. And God speaks to him and calls him. So one other person who's called by name. Number four, from the life of he starts with Saul and becomes Paul. He meets the risen Christ. And the first thing that happens is that he hears his own voice. And in Acts chapter 9, verse 1 to 9, Saul becomes Paul, who we know, the Apostle Paul. And from a Christian killer, he killed Christians and threw them in jail. From a Christian executioner to a persecutor, he becomes one of the greatest tellers of the gospel in all of Christianity. Becomes unusually used of the Lord, a chosen instrument. And it's interesting in that passage is that he's chosen, but, and of course he's knocked to the ground, and he doesn't know what's going on. He's blind for days. And then he said, listen, I want you to go to this place. They're going to lay hands on you, and you're going to receive the Holy Spirit. And he receives the Holy Spirit, and we know that because he tells us that he did. And so there again, the calling of his name, and he says, you are going to go to the nations of the world with this glorious message of Jesus. And he said, I am the Lord whom you're railing against. And I'm going to use you. And he said, you're going to suffer for my sake. And of course, not many people have suffered as much as Paul did in his ministry. But a chosen minister, a chosen vessel of God, who the Lord knew personally, and calls him personally to the task that he has. And then I call it number five, but Nathanael. Nathanael no longer says, they're going to meet with Jesus, and he says, can any good come out of there? Can any good come out of Nazareth? Statement. And Jesus says to him, he says, Nathanael, behold, an Israelite in whom there's no guile. Isn't that an interesting statement? Of all the things he could have said, you are an Israelite in whom there is no guile. And so he says, by the way, I knew you when you were under the fig tree. What? The fig tree. Remember the fig tree? You were under it. I saw you there. Now this great, was he doing something wrong under the fig tree? I don't know. I don't think so, but we don't know. He just said, but it brought instant obedience. I said, okay, I'll follow you. If you knew that about my life, I can't wait to see where this is going to go. There's no way you could have known about the incident under the fig tree. Or whether it was just a minute. We're just told enough to say, wow, that's a great story. I saw you under the fig tree. Maybe he was praying. Maybe he was crying out to God, show me the Messiah. I don't know. He doesn't tell us any more than that, except what we have in John's Gospel, chapter 1, and verse 45 to verse 48. But Jesus knows about the fig tree. And I would say to you this morning, and to me this morning, Jesus knows about you under the fig tree. Whatever that secret thing, nobody else did. And Nathaniel, you can tell by the story, wow, how did you know that? If you know those things about my life, I give my life to you. I surrender my life to you. I know, in other words, he's saying, I know your heart, Nathaniel, and I know your motives, and I know what you're about, and you're the one who says, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? I remember saying, oops, did I say that out loud? Can you hear Nathaniel? I didn't mean to say that out loud. Well, you did, and Jesus responds to it and said, I saw you when you were in secret. I saw you, maybe I saw you when you were crying, or I saw you when you were asking, you know, the right questions. I saw you, and I love you, and I'm calling you. You're going to be one of the 12. Wow. So much going on there that's so good. And so, there's just a sense, let me go back up there. I'll say some things I was going to leave up, but I'll share this. I think most of us don't hear a voice. I think we can say that. I mean, we hear something, but it's not, no one else would have heard it in the room. I've had God speak to me lots of times, but I was the only one that had a sense of it. And so we don't hear a voice, or we don't necessarily don't get a bright light and knocked off our horse and laying there in the sunshine and getting filled with the Spirit. That doesn't happen to us such like that. I think it's more, and you can help me with this, but I think it's just a sense that God wants me. Just a sense. Is it that way with you? There's no great flashing lights, but there's a sense that you can say, I believe God spoke to me. I believe God spoke to me. And if I've ever, see, because you know what I'm saying? First time, you're not sure if it's God. You don't know if it's the devil. You don't know if it's you. Maybe it's just me. Who am I fooling myself? I'm just fooling myself. So the first time you're not sure, but the second time you say, I think that's the Lord again. And after a while you get a discernment about things that you say, I think this is the Lord, because every other time when it was like that, it was the Lord. And so I think I'm going to go with that. And I think that's a very healthy thing, is that the sense that God wants us, whether you get a powerful thing where you're laying on your back or you're 2 days in a coma or something. I don't know what you would be, but it's a good thing. And I think there's a sense for most of us that he's setting us apart. That's the thing. Owen, I want you. I'm setting you apart. Bob, I'm setting you apart. Kathy, I'm setting you apart for the holy purposes. And so I think we can safely say, dear Lord, what are you saying to me today? I think we can. What are you saying? And whether it just comes with an impression, because I think many times it's mostly impressions, but it's enough. We say, Lord, I don't know. I was really spoken to tonight by the message, or I was really spoken by that in that prayer meeting. I just felt God was speaking to me. And by the way, we've had hundreds of people over the years where they said, you know, did you deliberately pick on me? I said, what do you mean? Yeah, you know what I mean. You're just telling everybody about my life. I said, I don't even know your your life or your wife. He said, you're talking to my wife? Yeah, how I? That's lots of times people say that. I said, because you couldn't have been more. It was exactly like the conversation we had the night before. Then we come to church. And then you're telling everybody about what I did or what I was going to do. And I said, no, honestly, I said, I didn't check with you or anybody else. The Lord, what has simply happened is God has spoken to that person. And it's confirmed the next day because it's the very same thing that you were talking about. And then, of course, you turn on the TV, and then there's a certain, some brother's got a TV ministry, and he's speaking on the same thing. And finally you say, God, this is driving me crazy, but I'm going to trust you that this is one of your ways of guiding me and directing me. I think it's very powerful. So it's for, so we're set apart for his holy purposes, and we go with that. We go with that. We say, okay, Lord, if that's what you're doing, I can look back and I can see various moments that were pivotal moments, that something was happening in me and through me and around me. And usually it's very quiet. It's not a lot of activity. It's just more of a sense that I could find myself weeping, but not knowing why. And I know that when God spoke to Malcolm Muggeridge, remember the Muggeridge out of England, and he was a well-known British broadcaster. And anyway, most of you know Malcolm Muggeridge, or know of him. And what he said, his words were about God, because he was an atheist, strong. Everybody who was an atheist loved this guy. And he said, although I really didn't want God, he had a strong sense, he said, that God wanted him. I didn't want God. He said, I could honestly say, I don't need God. I don't want God. But this burning sense that God wanted him. And I think this is how you may not have a strong feeling about God. Maybe you're just in a state or a condition that. But I bet if I was to say this, he said, but do you ever have a sense that you may not want God, but God wants you? And he's talking to you. And he knows your name. He knows all about you. It's kind of exciting in a scary way. And one of my hesitations, or all of our hesitations perhaps, is that, well, what's he going to, how is it going to affect me? Right, how is it going to change me? I don't know if I want to. Could you lay it out first of all for me so I can evaluate it, then decide whether I want to say yes? Because most of us, it kind of scares us that we might be asked to do something that we don't want. That's not usually how it works, by the way. Well, how it works is that there's this desire. It's what you've wanted to do all along, and now God is confirming it. You've always wanted that. It's not something, okay, if I can pick, the Lord doesn't say, if I can pick, I'll pick the worst thing I can think of, and that'll be your task. It's just the opposite. It's that, you know, one of those things that were on your heart, I want to fulfill those in you. I've got a journey here that you need to be on, and you're built for it. You're shaped for it. Your personality is just right for it. Trust me, the Lord would say. And I think it's the same for you. I know pretty well everybody in this room, as you do too. And we know how you're shaped and motivated and what your life is like, because we know each other. Isn't it exciting as we pray for one another that God would use us, each one of us, and we'd pray for one another? Because we already know, say, we know your personality, we know what your talents are, we see your gifts, and we're glad for them. We bless those gifts. We bless the destiny that you have, and we don't want you to miss it. Right? The Lord tells us that there's a day of visitation, in the day of your visitation. And I thought, if the Lord's visiting me, and if there's pivotal moments and key moments when I shouldn't have turned that way. Why did I do that? Or why did I get involved in that? Or why did I get? There's all kind of things. Because God says, no, you might have to lay some things down, but it'll be well worth it. And then he begins to use our... You see, I think God made us so he could love us. I think that's the purpose in the mind of the Lord. When he made you, there's only one you, and there's only one blueprint. And you can never know God's plan for your life unless you go to the Lord. Because he's the one who made you. He alone has the blueprint. And if you say, well, I want to know God's will, then you must give yourself to God to know it. It won't be given any other way. He's got the blueprint. He made us in order that he might love us and to love upon us and to use us in ways that we can only marvel at and say, wow, that's wonderful. That's good. And now maybe you find yourself saying, I'm comfortable where I am. Oh, I think you need to, this morning, yield afresh. I've often felt in my own heart, like whenever there's a chance to yield to the Lord, say, God, am I on track? Am I doing what I should be doing? Am I going the right direction? Am I being obedient to the things that I should be? Lord, speak to me. Talk to me. And I believe that he will. I don't think he teases you. Well, you know those plans they had for you? Forget it. It's not going to happen. Are you kidding me? I remember seeing this car too, and this guy's got four flat tires at the same time. And he says, God, why? 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 And the little couple tells, because you're such a geek. That's what our worst fear is. That's what God is actually going to say to us, right? Because you're an idiot or something, you know. It frightens us. But think about it. Whatever time, see, we're coming to the end of an age. And here, how interesting. You were not born in 1840. You're here today. You're here by God. At this time, this is the moment that you've arrived on the earth. And I don't think it's a mistake that you're alive today. And I'm sure it's not a mistake that you're part of a church and that there's a thing that God's doing. And together we must say, yes, Lord, speak, your servant is listening. I don't want to miss what's going on. You can sit and watch TV and get scared, or you can yield yourself to the Lord and say, Lord, use me in the midst of a very trying a difficult age, a peculiar age in some ways. It seems like it's better reported than that, I suppose, but there's something going on that even secular, because the news people, a guy says, what in the world is going on with our world? That's what he said. What in the world is going on in our world? And I thought, yeah, no, he doesn't have a Bible, so he doesn't know, but we know. And the time, these are the times that we're here. So I don't want to miss it. I know you don't want to miss it. Look back and say, we were obedient at these end time, or I don't know if we're end time entirely, but it seems like it's the beginning of the end at any rate, and it's a difficult time for many, and people need to be loved and cared, and I'm just saying, as I think the Lord is saying, I'm looking for people that will sell out, who will be really obedient to me, and that I will use them. I'll use them, and not to be afraid. I think, well, by the time, many times God, when he speaks to us, one of the main messages, do not be afraid, right? Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Let that be a word to you this morning. Do not be afraid. I find myself being fearful over certain things, and I don't want to be, but I have to, I want to declare the word of the Lord that God's in charge and he'll look after things. And then to hear that great hymn we sang this morning, the St. Patrick work. Christ before, Christ under, Christ above. That's great. That's exactly what it is and how the Lord wants to work in it. So, yeah, amen. The Lord knows your name. And he knows about the fig tree. And he knows about calling on your life. God put a calling on my life. I'm not talking about pastor stuff. I'm talking about individual stuff. There's a calling on my life. And I can say, I know it. I know it. I want to come into my best. I want those days to be great days, not wasted days, where I just kind of disappeared. So here we are. And I know you feel some sense something. And I wonder if maybe I don't want to be so the same thing we do every week, but I wonder if you felt anything on your own heart, that you feel free enough to even share it with us, with this larger body here. And how has God been speaking to you lately? You don't have to tell the intimate details, but what has God been saying to you lately?